This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. I am so happy to be able to interview my longtime friend, Gary Cristofaro, and we're going to find out about Jews going back to Israel. They call that Aliyah, and Gary and his ministry, Ezra International, are focused on that, and you're going to want to hear what he has to say, especially if you're like me and have a real heart for Israel, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and I'm so happy to welcome Gary Cristofaro, who I've known how long? 15 years probably. And I know
maybe longer.
I know you to have a real heart for Israel. In fact, you and I got acquainted through Christians United for Israel. When we were having pro-Israel events over here in Orlando, you would drive all the way from Melbourne and then later sponsor them, and we just worked in lots of ways. And now you work with this ministry called Ezra International, who we have supported and raised money for, and because I think your mission is so important. Why don't you just talk to me for a minute on why Aliyah is so important to you personally and also in God's plan.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, Steve, for having me on again. And it is really good to talk to you. It's been too long. You know, Ezra International, I believe, and I hope anybody doing work for God would believe they're in the center of his will, but I am absolutely convinced that we are at the center of God's will in helping with the return of the Jewish people back to Israel, because there is more mention of this process in Scripture than any other prophetic event in all of the Bible. We are helping the poorest of the poor Jewish people get back from the former Soviet Union, from Europe, from South America, basically from all over the world. And over the last 25 years, we have helped over 77,000 Jewish people make it home to Israel. We feel that there's a mandate from God, from Scripture. For example, Isaiah 49:22 says that the Gentiles will carry his sons in our arms and his daughters on our shoulders. We feel it's a mandate and a call of God to help in this process of the regathering of Jews back to Israel. And we know that it is God's heart, the apple of his eye. He protects and loves his people. And he looks to us as his crafted in ones to be a part of that plan and process.
Well, very well said. And I know your ministry well enough to know a lot of things, but I want you to just say in your own words, tell what Ezra International is, how you function. You're the director of development, which is sort of understandable, but even start with why you picked the name Ezra International.
Oh, well, that's good. Ezra actually means help. And, if you look at the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, they're about the return of the Jewish people from the Babylonian captivity. We now are participating in the second return of Jewish people back to Israel. And, you know, Steve, you know this, there is no third regathering in Scripture. So we know that this is the final regathering. Amos 9:15 says that they will return to the land and never to be plucked up again. The way we operate is through indigenous believers, Christians in each of the countries that we work in. We have gone into churches and found people of like heart that would be willing to be a part of this process. And then these individuals go into the Jewish communities in each of these countries and seek out people who are in need of our help. And when I say in need of our help, as I said, we work with the poorest of the poor. And so going through the process of getting passports, traveling to and from the consuls in order to meet, and the entire family has to meet with at the consuls, the Israeli consuls, these things would cost so much money that it would make it impossible for many of the families, most of the people that we work with, to go through the process because they're barely able to put food on the table and pay the rent. So we come beside them, help them. We've become very, very good at document research, helping individuals prove their Jewishness, especially in the former Soviet Union that, you know, was an atheistic society, and they now have to prove their Jewishness in order to go through this process. We work hand in hand with the Jewish Agency, and we help the individuals that need transportation, as I said, document research, and then get them to the consuls, and the Jewish Agency then does the stamp of approval versus, you know, considering or concerning their Jewishness. We don't determine that. It's the Jewish Agency that does that. But we are the first to come alongside these individuals and tell them sometimes that they have the right to go home to Israel. Many of them didn't even know they had the right to return, and they're living in poverty and in anti-Semitic countries. And when they hear this, it's a revelation. It's a gift from God. And then one of the other things that they tell us is that we're the first Christians ever to show them kindness in their entire lives. A Christian group coming to them and serving them, humbly coming and offering them aid, assistance, and comfort is something that they've never experienced before. So it's a work from the heart. It's a work from God. It's a holy work, in my opinion, because important it is in God's economy.
Well, this is amazing and a great show of love to the Jewish people, of course, the ones who are recipients of, your kindness and the charity. But what about the Israelis that you deal with, where they're welcomed? And maybe I should also ask you how much you help them after, or maybe we could walk through that. You already told them about getting, their visas and so forth, and then you help them with air travel, because I imagine most of these people fly to Tel Aviv. And then when they get in Israel, what happens to them and how much more do you help them, or are they kind of handed off to agencies in Israel itself?
Okay. Well, let me be clear. The Jewish Agency and the Ministry of Absorption do much, a lot. And let me say that they pay for the flights. We pay for everything leading up to that point. We help with transportation over a course of, for example, there are cities that may be 5 hours apart that we have to drive individuals to a consul visit, may even have to put them up in a hotel overnight and get them through their visit. We've helped them with humanitarian aid in forms of food and things of that nature. When they were coming out of the war zone in Ukraine, we were actually putting them up in a rented fish camp for a number of months. We were feeding them, clothing them, and helping them through the process. So a lot of what we do is the lead up to the initial flight. Then the Jewish Agency pays for the flight to Israel. But when they do get to Israel, we are partners, and then we consider ourselves one ministry with MTI, Ministry to Israel. And then they provide guidance through the settling in process, might even provide things as practical as diapers and home goods when they get there. But this is also in conjunction with the Ministry of Absorption in Israel, who does a lot for them. It's a very good question, because a lot of people ask, what happens when they get to Israel? And we have ways of following up. We have, some food centers there in the land with our partners. But the Ministry of Absorption also does a great job of helping these people get settled and find jobs and things of that nature.
Well, 77,000 is a lot of people. How many is in a typical year? Because, of course, you have to go out and raise money for this, for the people who work for you, for all the expenses that you were describing. Is it like based, if you have so much money in a certain year, you're able to help so many people, or is it on an as-needed basis? How does that work, and how many people a year are you able to help?
Well, I think 2019, we helped almost, I think it was right around 8,000, if I remember correctly, in 2019. We're currently helping in the system right now over 43,000. So the number of 43,000, it stays fairly consistent. It's been between 40 and 43,000 probably ever since I've been working with Ezra, because as soon as people go, there are more that are coming in. And yes, the more money that we can raise, the more people we can help. The demand is right now is higher than probably the income that we have, because we keep getting calls sometimes from even the Jewish agency saying we need help in another country. You know, our expansion is only limited by our funds because the need is so great.
Well, I'm aware of that because through a ministry that I'm involved in, we were able to raise some money here in Orlando to help a couple of years ago. And that's really where I became, familiar with Ezra International. I knew it by reputation before that, but that was really the first time that I personally got involved. And I think what you're doing is so very important that I'm glad to have you on the podcast. But you mentioned just now 2019 and helping 8,000 people. When 2020 rolled around, we had no idea what would happen with this pandemic.
Right.
And I know that Israel shut down very, very quickly, tourism, everything. I'm assuming that it even shut down Aliyah for a while. How has that affected you, and how are you dealing with it?
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to give you an update on that. But I first want to say thank you again, because, yes, your help and the funds that you raised in these previous events were tremendous. And some of the contacts that you gave us are still part of our partnering and helping us still today. So thank you again. Through 2020, as you said, started out as quite a tumultuous year, as we all know. And it did shut down almost completely, the Aliyah. It never shut down fully, but down to a trickle. I mean, there was a situation where some of the people who were ready to go were about to get on flights in March, for example, had sold all their belongings, quit their jobs, were carrying just the bags that were ready to go on the plane when their flights got canceled. And there was a number of cases like that. And we ended up having to, provide food and help for some of these people, but most of them were able to find shelter in other families' homes or friends' homes. But the Israeli government prioritized those particular people, and they were able to bring them on. Some flights started to trickle in, and they put them in a 14-day quarantine period. That's how they were able to get most of those who are stuck in limbo out of the countries they were in. As of today, flights are beginning to open up more and more. I received a report that some flights went out of Kiev, Ukraine, Russia. I think Russia is going to begin on June 15th. They're going to open up fully. France, I believe, is opening up here shortly. South America is not going to open up until like September. These are reports that I received even as early as this morning from some of our people in the field. So it's rough, but we're still working by phone and in a limited basis with consulting with the Jewish families that we have been working with. Still trying to do our end, doing the document research and things of that nature while we wait for the things to fully open again.
Well, of course, a podcast like this is going to be online for a long time, and there will be people listening to it long after this pandemic, hopefully, is just a bad memory. But the idea is that your vision is the same, the need is the same, you're continuing to operate under very, very difficult circumstances. And as things begin to open up, I mean, these 43,000 that are in process, hopefully you'll be able to catch up. And I know you have a lot of good stories. You're a good storyteller. You're an excellent public speaker, and I've heard you speak and preach. But just tell me and my listeners a couple of the really heartwarming stories that have come out of this incredible ministry that has helped so many people, 77,000 and counting, and 43,000, waiting to be helped. What kind of stories really inspire you personally?
Well, some of the stories that really impact me personally and our teams personally is when we watch what we're doing align up perfectly with Scripture. I mean, talking about coming alive, when a passage speaks in Jeremiah 31, I believe, of the lame and the blind, will come. And then we find ourselves holding the arm, and I've done this personally, holding the arm of a blind woman as I help her into one of our vans and help her get to a council meeting or something of that nature. We realize how specific God was with his word as he spoke through the prophets, giving us mental pictures of those who would be helping maybe 2,700 years after those words were spoken. And then you have the case of even Holocaust survivors. I was armed with just a GoPro camera. It wasn't long ago, maybe a couple of years ago. I was in a home of a woman who was telling her story about survival as a young girl, hiding away, and her parents, the way the story went, her father got word back to the family that the Germans were killing Jews. He was never heard or seen from again. And the mother of this woman was able to get a hold of some papers with a Gentile name and give the girls, her young girls, Gentile names and hide them out with relatives. And she told her story about how she survived the Holocaust by pretending to be a Gentile. And now she was coming to Ezra International, having to prove her Jewishness because of all those years having used a different name. And Ezra was able to find the correct records of family members of many years ago, prove her Jewishness. And now this Holocaust survivor, who not only survived the Holocaust, but had escaped the war zone in Ukraine, had now was able to go home to Israel. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
You know, as you're telling that story, I'm remembering that I visited the Soviet Union several times and Ukraine several times. This would have been in the 90s as it was just opening up. And one time when I was in Latvia, friends were taking us around and showing us, and someone had made a little museum at a, I guess maybe a former hospital or something. And it was to all the people that the Germans had killed during the Second World War. Now, Second World War was horrible for Americans and, you know, lots of people, of course, but the Russians actually probably lost in the war more than others. I mean, the Germans were there, they killed people, and they were telling this story of killing all these Jews, and I hadn't really expected to hear about this. You know, of course, historically, I've read things, but here I was confronted with, right where I was, all these people had died, you know, all these years ago, and it just drove home to me how serious that problem was. And so I think what you're doing is so very important. There are many ministries over the years that we've supported or reported on or tried to tell their stories, but your ministry is one that I have seen up close and personal and feel very, very strongly about, and have proven it in the sense that I've gotten involved, not trying to prove anything to anyone, but I mean, you know, it shows that I believe in it. So as we kind of wrap up this short podcast, tell my listeners how they can get involved. And the nice thing about a podcast is you can stop it and back it up if you didn't get the information, because of course you'll have to write it down. Because I really encourage you to get involved in Ezra International, and maybe even, you know, we're talking about people personally, but maybe there's some churches, maybe there's some pastors that are hearing this, and they would like to connect with you in some way in America. In fact, when you were thanking me a minute ago for our involvement I thought to myself, well, of course, I mean, this is something very great and very important to God's heart and important in Scripture. And I thought, of course, it's much easier to partner with someone who's already doing it and doing it well than it is to try to go out and do it by yourself. So together we can accomplish so much more than we can individually. So how can my listeners get involved with Ezra International at different levels?
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Well, for one, they can go to our website, EzraInternational.org. Just EzraInternational.org. You can go there and look and see some of the stories that that we've listed there and learn more about us. They can also call the toll-free number at 866-539-6829 and talk to somebody personally there. But the website is a great place to learn more about us and see what we do. And as I said, read some of the stories of real faces, real people making it home to Israel. Steve, you mentioned standing in places where people had been, slaughtered. Babi Yar in Kyiv, Ukraine. I've stood at the edge of those pits many times. And I coined a phrase a few years back that says we really can't say never again while Jewish people are living in notoriously anti-Semitic countries, because it can happen again. We're seeing the rise of anti-Semitism around the world, and I adopted the words of a righteous Gentile, Imri Bathory. I saw it at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Israel. He said, when I go before God on Judgment Day, I will not be asked the question posed to Cain, where were you when your brother's blood was crying out to God? And I'm telling you, Steve, the Jewish blood is crying out from those pits at Babi Yar and from the ovens of Auschwitz. And we have to act. We have to do something. We know better now in our generation, and we can't let it happen again.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you, Gary Cristofaro of Melbourne, Florida, for all that you do there at Ezra International, and of course, you've been involved in many other things over the years, and it's like the Lord was preparing you for this position. Thank you for sharing about this. Thank you for your ministry, and on a personal basis, thank you for your friendship.
Well, thank you, Steve. Same to you. Very much so.
And thank you to my listeners for tuning in today to the Strang Report. Share it with friends. Go on iTunes. Leave us a review. Maybe you can subscribe. That's help us get the word out. Apparently it's working because we just passed 2.7 million downloads so far in 2020, and they continue to go up. And I think this is a very important one to share with others. Tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.